My name's James Cussons. I'm a computer science lecturer at the University of Bristol. I'm a UCU rep for the Faculty of Engineering. I've been in Bristol just a couple of years, actually, although I don't live in Bristol, and I'm currently on strike. I guess that's the main things to know about me.
So what is the actual problem for university lecturers? Can you tell us a bit about the run-up to this? You annually with the University of Bristol will have these pay negotiations, won't you?
Yeah, so it's actually slightly complicated. There's two separate disputes, legally speaking. So the first dispute concerns pensions, and that's a dispute that's been going on since 2018. So to try and cut a long story short, there was an attack on our pensions in 2018 where they were attempting to change the pension from one where the previous situation where you kind of knew what pension you were going to get when you retired to one where you just contribute to the pension and then what you got depended on how the stock market had performed and so on. So they're removing it from defined benefit to defined contribution. Anyway, 2018 was our first sort of significant strikes against that, and we succeeded in defending the kind of basic nature of the pension. But nonetheless, there's been all sorts of attacks on that pension on the basis of a kind of totally fraudulent idea that the pension is in deficit. Now it's been admitted that in fact the pension is perfectly healthy and there's no reason whatsoever to attack our pension conditions. So I'm reasonably optimistic on the pensions dispute that we might have a reasonable outcome out of that, because for example, the University of Bristol management have said that they're convinced that there's enough in there to restore the benefits and so on. So that's one dispute that's been going on since 2018. And like you said, there's also been disputes over pay. So the other dispute concerns not just pay, but also they're also striking because of against precarious working, against casualization for a proper working week of 35 hours a week, and also for the universities to do serious work on addressing the gender and ethnicity pay gap. So there's quite a lot of issues there. Pay is just one of them. So pay that we're looking for is to inflation plus 2%, because we, in real terms, our pay's been going down for the last, whatever it is now, 7 years, maybe 9 years, I can't quite remember. So that's why we've been having, as well as the pensions dispute, we've been having disputes over pay, and we're still having them. So that's the kind of short version of what the dispute's about.
Now, BBC Radio 4 were in Bristol a few weeks ago, doing actually quite a zoom in on things like student accommodation, and mm-hmm. they also had the Vice Chancellor of Bristol University on, explaining that she has a funding shortfalls, and she was actually saying on the programme, well, we need extra funding from central government, so it doesn't sound as if they've got the money to pay you this inflation plus two.
Well, that depends on what they choose to spend the money on. So like most universities, University of Bristol essentially sees itself as a organization that needs to grow and get bigger constantly in order to continue to exist as a university. That's not something I accept. So they're putting a lot of, they may not have that much money once they've spent on other things other than pay. So for example, you may know that they're thinking of expanding the university down near Temple Mead Station, the whole Temple Quarter thing. So if you look at what's been spent on, Bristol University, like other universities, have been spending a lot on new buildings and so on. I mean, it is true that the situation for universities would be a lot better if they weren't reliant on fees only and it was a proper publicly funded university as it should be. But whether or not there's enough money to pay decent wages to staff depends on what they choose to do with the money they're getting in. I mean, the University of Bristol in particular is not a poor university. It earns colossal amounts of money by charging particularly international students very high student fees. And it's a question of what you want to do with that money. Do you want to spend it on buildings and building up the capital assets, or do you want to spend it on providing decent pay for your staff? So that's the way I'd look at that.
Well, what sort of hoops do you have to jump through in order to ensure that your membership at the universities, UCU membership, is actually behind taking strike action?
Well, I mean, like every strike these days. People have to vote to make it a legal strike. And the current strike we've had, strikes where each individual university has voted as a particular institution, and if you didn't get over the 50% threshold, then you didn't go on strike, and if you got over the 50% threshold, then you're allowed to strike. This current dispute was an aggregated one, so basically we voted together as an entire union, and you know, we got, unlike for example the current government, we got over 50% of people who were eligible to vote voting, and also a big majority of those who voted voting in favour of striking. So, you know, we have that mandate. There's no doubt about that. It's there in black and white. And the reason people voted to take action was, you know, for the reasons I've told you, the real terms pay cuts over many years, the tax on the pensions. And for many, particularly the younger staff, the fact that they are a very precarious form of working. You know, some people are doing like a few hours a week here and there, short-term contracts. I mean, it's not a great situation for them. And I think that's why people voted in favour of striking and are supporting the strikers as a result of that.
Okay, so when are the next strike days?
Well, we're on strike today. Well, fortunately, let me just walk over to my calendar, because there's so many of them, it's sometimes a bit tricky to keep track of things. So, yeah, today the 14th is strike day. We're also on strike Wednesday and Thursday. Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Week after that, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it's a four-day strike. Then we got a reading week break, and then more strikes in March as well. So 18 days altogether. This is third day of those 18 days. So quite considerable, a lot of striking going on.
Well, I mean, you're going to be, a lot of pay is going to be docked for those strike days. Aren't you cutting off your own nose to spite your face?
Well, it is going to be tough. Yeah, 18 days strike is a lot of, is a big ask for people. We do have, the union does have a fighting fund, which, you know, compensates you for some of the strike pay that you're losing, and that's particularly geared towards people who are got less to start off with, so people on lower pay and fewer hours than us. And there's also the local University of Bristol UCU hardship fund. So we do know it's very difficult for people to keep going through these 18 days, you know, there are ways of helping people with that. And of course, the end result is that if we do succeed in this strike, then it will be worth it, because, you know, then we'll get a decent pay settlement.
Chinese students, for example, are paying top dollar. I bet they're not very happy about turning up and finding actually the lecturers are gone.
Well, I'm sure many students are upset about the disruption, and it is considerable disruption that's going on to their education. And, you know, the issue is, you know, who do they blame for the disruption? It's been quite heartening that a lot of students, actually more than I was expecting, seem quite supportive of the union. I mean, they, you know, they're students at the moment, they're going to go out into the world of work once they graduate, and they know, you know, it's not just university staff who are on strike, there's strikes everywhere, and there's a reason for that. So I think a lot of them know that, you know, once they start, well, many of them are working already, but once they start full-time working, they might find themselves in a similar difficult situation and might be obliged to take strike action. So they've been quite supportive. I understand the frustration of many students of the current situation, and I'm hoping that the dispute will be resolved, hopefully in our favour, reasonably soon.
Yeah, so is there any indication of the universities taking your claims seriously, knuckling down and actually negotiating properly?
Like I said before, I think on the pensions I'm cautiously optimistic, partly because it's a bit of a complicated issue, because it's a kind of, there's lots of parties involved in that. There's the universities, there's the union, there's the pension scheme itself, and I'm hearing about movement on that they will restore the pension to how it should be, and also compensate us for the cuts we've had before. So I'm cautiously optimistic on the pensions. On the other dispute, which is centered around pay and working conditions, the union is currently in ACAS. So the employers have agreed to meet at ACAS, which previously they didn't. You know, in the past, they just dismissed us and didn't bother even negotiating. So the union's been negotiating both today and also yesterday. All we've heard is that talks are ongoing. So, you know, what will come out of that, I I really don't know, but I'm kind of hopeful. But yeah, I think fairly soon we'll know whether those talks are going somewhere or not. So at the moment, you know, we're waiting to hear what's going on there.
Now, I know it may be above your pay grade, but take a step back from this. I mean, we do seem to have an economy that's broken, effectively, and it may be that, you know, I mean, obviously you're not the only people who are involved in this. Is there anything that you could say which can reassure people that actually there is an end to this down the line? Because it looks as if we're seeing enormous amounts of, well, now inflation is starting to kick in even more, with people simply finding it impossible to pay their mortgages, some of them, whilst, you know, their pay, real pay, is going down. So how would we fix this? Is it possible to fix this?
Well, you know, I think the way to fix it is the people who, I mean, it's true we've had an economic crisis for quite a while now. I mean, I guess you kick it back to the 2008 economic crisis, and the issue is, you know, who pays for that chaos. And I think the way to, you know, I think what we're doing at the moment in UCU and other people are doing in their unions is the way forward. I mean, the big issue is about, you know, where do the resources go? Do they go towards capital? Do they go towards labour? You know, I'm a socialist, so I believe that those of us who work for a living have to organise ourselves in order to get a decent share of what's produced. So, you know, I think, you know, if you're looking for a way out of this, people need to think about organising themselves, joining the union if they're not already in the union. I think that's the only way of fixing things. Certainly the current government, you know, they're a bosses' party. They're going to do whatever it takes to maintain profitability, irrespective of the effect it has on people who work for a living. You know, I don't know what will happen if Keir Starmer's lot get in, but I think we would still need strong unions to defend ourselves. So what I would say to people is, don't be disheartened. There is an alternative, and that alternative is, you know, organising amongst ourselves in order to try and kick back about being made to pay for all that's going on.
Well, all the bets are on Starmer and the Labour Party to win the general election next year. Do you think that'll make a big difference?
I suspect not. I mean, I hope to be proved wrong on that, obviously. It seems that at the moment, Starmer is particularly keen just not to be Jeremy Corbyn rather than to have any positive message. And I think, you know, he might well win on the grounds that he's not the Conservative Party. So that's probably going to be enough to let him win the election. I'm not expecting an awful lot. So everything I'm hearing from them says it's going to be sort of business as usual. I don't see any big radical change in the kind of balance of power in society from a Keir Starmer Labour Party. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens when it happens, but I certainly don't think that we should depend upon a Labour government coming in and solving all our problems, because you know, in the past that hasn't happened, and I'm not too hopeful about it happening this time. So that's my view on that.
Okay, James Cousins from UCU in Bristol, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, thanks a lot.